We're walking through Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches his disciples a prayer. And we said that Jesus is teaching his disciples a prayer to pray and a prayer that gives pattern to all the rest of their prayer life. And the more we understand what Jesus was teaching, the more we understand the heart of Jesus, because he's sharing with us, when he shares this prayer, he's saying, this is my prayer life. He's inviting us in to his heart. And the more we understand his heart, the more we understand the mission of Jesus. And so since we pray this prayer over and over again, we want to spend some time digging into it, because the more we understand what we're saying, the more transformative this prayer becomes for us as we follow Jesus. So let's pick up again in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. And it says these words: "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, if you hadn't been with us the last couple of weeks, we just covered that part right there. Go back and check it out. Super important. Where you begin makes a big difference. Then we come to verse 10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, pay close attention to what Jesus is saying right here, because Jesus is revealing to us his mission, which is now our mission. And listen to what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, "Lord, take us to heaven." Jesus doesn't say, "Get us out of here, God." What does Jesus say? "Bring heaven down." We just sang it. "Heaven come down, heaven come down." Jesus prays, "Lord, let your rule and reign, the way it is in heaven right now, make it available on earth right now. Let your kingdom come and your will be done right now in our lives, where we live, in our communities, in our homes, in our individual lives. Let heaven rule and reign right now in this place." Jesus's mission was to make the kingdom of God a reality in the here and now. It's the way he sets up this whole Sermon on the Mount, by announcing that the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is breaking into the here and the now. That's the whole ministry of Jesus, is the kingdom of God coming in. And Jesus's life is like an invasion force into the world, where he is bringing God's kingdom, taking the world back for the kingdom of God, is what's happening in Jesus's ministry, in his life, in his death, and his resurrection. And so Jesus prays, "Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come right now." Jesus is declaring his allegiance to the creator of the universe, and to the one kingdom that is going to be eternal. And when Jesus prays this prayer, he is praying, I am not ultimately in allegiance to Rome or to anything else other than the creator of the universe and his kingdom. And what I want us to realize and hear in this part of the prayer: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." This is not a cute prayer. This is not a cute prayer. This is a radical, revolutionary prayer. Jesus is praying, "Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your rule and reign come." And as Jesus is praying for the kingdom of God to break into the here and now, the rule and the reign of God to come, he is praying that the rule and the reign of the kingdoms of this world would be kicked out. It is a clash of kingdoms that Jesus is realizing, and he's praying, "God, let your kingdom rule, let your kingdom reign right now, be made visible in this moment right here." That to pray this prayer then, as Jesus prayed, is to declare to ourselves, to God, and to all the world, that our allegiance belongs to one. We belong to no other, and we bow before no other. And that our allegiance belongs to a kingdom that is breaking into this world, that will one day come in all its fullness, and that we bow to no other kingdoms other than this one, the one kingdom that will last and be eternal, because in the end, there will be only one. and our allegiance belongs to that one. And so to say this prayer is to say to all the other kingdoms of the world, whether the kingdoms I try to build or the kingdoms you try to build or the kingdom of America or the kingdom of whatever it is, Fort Smith, is to say to all the other kingdoms of the world, I bow before no other. It is to pray this prayer is to become a foreigner, an alien, an ambassador in whatever culture, whatever community, whatever nation that we find ourselves in. It is to say that we are working for a kingdom that is breaking in and will ultimately mean the end of all the other kingdoms. Now, what does that mean for us who live here where we live? It means as people who live in the United States of America, what it means for us is that we seek the good of our nation. We pray for our leaders. We participate in its politics. At the same time, we declare that America and its culture and its democracy and its values will one day pass away. And our ultimate allegiance is not to the nation of America, but to the God who reigns forever and ever. We're saying, here I am. I know who I belong to. I know what I'm working for. And my true allegiance is to that one kingdom that is going to come, even as we exist in a moment where there is a clash of kingdoms. We exist in a moment where the kingdom of God is breaking in. At the same time, there's all these other kingdoms that exist in the world. And when Jesus comes back, the kingdom of God is gonna be over all things and is gonna reign in its fullness. But in the moment that we live in, it's breaking in right now, but it's not here in all its fullness. So the kingdom of God at this moment is clashing with the kingdoms of this world that are drunk with violence, power, and immorality, and all these other kingdoms in which we live. And so we live in a weird time. We live in a weird time where here we are. The kingdom of God's breaking in. At the same time, we live here where it's not in all its fullness. And there are some things in our world today that are necessary because the kingdom of God is not here in all its fullness. They are necessary, but we mourn their necessity. We live in a world where we have militaries and guns and violence and prisons, where we put locks on our doors. And those things in the world in which we live, where there's all these other kingdoms, those things are a necessity in this world. But we mourn them. We mourn them. I'm more aware. The more I pray this prayer, and the more I think about the kingdom of God, the more aware I am of the clash of the kingdom I belong to and the kingdom I live in. The more aware I am of all these things that are going on in the world, and it's like, okay, that's here it is. And it's necessary now, but we mourn it. When poor families are turned away at the border because they're hungry and looking for work, I get that it's a necessity. We just ought to cry when we do it. When people are picked up out of our community, because they're not here legally, I get that it could be a necessity. We just mourn it that it happens. We mourn that there are prisons. We mourn that we need that people put locks on their doors. We mourn a world that celebrates guns. I get its necessity, but we mourn it. And part of the way that we witness to the kingdom of God is that we mourn some things that are celebrated and exalted in the culture, but are not a part of the kingdom of God that will one day come in all its fullness. And so it's possible to live in this place where I know who I am and I belong to, and I know that we live right here in this place, and because of this, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, who understand the weirdness of the time in which we live. And so we pray. As we look at the world in which we live, we pray, Lord, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. Lord, we long for a day when there'll be no more war. We long for a day when all the weapons of this world will be beat into plowshares. We long for a day when all people are welcome, and Lord, we long for that. And so we pray for the kingdom of God to come in the here and the now. And as we pray that prayer, what vision comes to mind when you think of the kingdom of God? What's coming into your mind as you think, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done"? Because if we don't have a vision of the kingdom of God, man, it's really, I mean, we're just kind of mumbling stuff that we don't understand. Because I bet for many of you, if I told you, you can have whatever you want, could you begin to think of some things that you would have, get, and do? I bet you could build your kingdom, couldn't you? You can have whatever you want. I know what I want, know what I'd build, know what I would have. We get that. We can talk about the kingdom of America, and we don't all have the same vision of America, but we could all begin to talk about what it looks like if we could do whatever we wanted to do. But what do you vision when we say the kingdom of God? Lord, let Thy kingdom come. What are we seeing happening when we pray that prayer? I was thinking about that. I thought, if you grew up in church, you probably sung about raising your Ebenezer. Anybody ever sung a song about raising your Ebenezer? Nobody knows what an Ebenezer is. Yeah. You know, it's like, I've been in service, everybody's like, "Here, I raised my Ebenezer," and everybody's like seeing it, but nobody knows what it is. A bulwark never failing. Some of us, if you grew up in church, you sang about bulwarks never failing. Nobody knows what a bulwark is, but we hope it never fails, right? And so sometimes we sing things, and we say things, we have no idea what it really means. And same thing happens. Some say, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." It's just words unless we have a vision for what the kingdom of God actually is. So that we do begin to understand who we are, what we're working towards, what we're bringing about in the kingdom, and what we're mourning its existence in the here and the now. What does it look like for the kingdom of God to come? Is the kingdom of God not a place where we love and serve and bless all people, regardless of age or nation or status or race? Is that what not the kingdom of God looks like? Man, we love all people and seek to bless everyone, regardless of how they act towards us. Is that not what the kingdom of God looks like? And the Lord would say, if that's what the kingdom of God looks like, then why not now? Why not the church begin to do this right now and to witness to a world, man, where people are loved and blessed regardless of who they are, where they come from? Why not do that right now in this place in which we live right now? Isn't the kingdom of God a place where everybody has enough and everybody sees what they have as a way to bless other people? And if that's what the kingdom of God looks like, man, God says, why not begin to witness to that right now in this place, in our space? Let it happen right now where we live in this moment right now. Isn't the kingdom of God a place where strength and power is used to lift up the least and the lost and the last, rather than simply to get more for those who already have a lot? Is that not what the kingdom of God looks like? So if that's what the kingdom of God looks like, then why not now, God says, in this place in which we live, bring the kingdom of God in the here and the now. In the kingdom of God, a place where everything we do is worship. Hey, man, the rule and the reign of God, it's all worship. And if that's what the kingdom of God looks like, why not now? Jesus is teaching us to pray, Lord, right now, let everything I do become worship. Whether that is the washing of the dishes, going to work, whatever it is, taking a walk, I don't know. It all becomes worship in ways to glorify and honor Him. Isn't that what the kingdom of God is going to look like? In the kingdom of God, aren't we going to care for what God has created simply because we love Him? Isn't that what the kingdom of God looks like? I brought this right here. If you ever come into my office and wonder why I have a purse in my office that looks like this, this was my grandmother's purse that she made after she had been to Europe. It's a bit garish. And if you saw it at a garage sale, you probably wouldn't pick it up. But it sits in my office now because I loved her. And she made it. And so it looks like trash to everybody else, but I treat it differently because I know the one who created it. It speaks to my relationship to the Creator the way I treat this. Man, in the kingdom of God? Is that not how how we relate to all those things that God has created, whether that's plants or animals or people? We recognize, we know who the creator is. And so the way we relate to those things which God has created is different from the way others relate to him. Isn't the kingdom of God going to be a place of peace and reconciliation? And if that's so, why not now? Why not now? Why not become people of peace and reconciliation rather than stirring up strife and dissent? Why aren't we bringing people together and bringing peace and reconciliation? One of the things that we discover as we pray this Lord's Prayer and it begins to impact all of our prayer life is we begin to see that the Holy Spirit particularizes this prayer. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the Holy Spirit begins to particularize that so that we begin to see specific ways in which we make the kingdom of God visible in the here and the now. That's what happens. And so it's like we're praying, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God's going, yes, which part? Because God loves some specificity in our prayer. We're going, God, and God's going, yes, yes, I agree with you, Jeff. Which parts? And he's opening up my eyes and saying, you have an opportunity. In the way you treat this person, you have an opportunity in the way that you help this person. You have an opportunity in the way that you treat these things, whatever it is. You have an opportunity in the way that you go about your work to make my kingdom visible in the here and the now, not to pray in general terms, God, do something. But God, as I think about my life, I have the opportunity today to make the kingdom of God visible in the here and the now. We go throughout our day with the opportunity in particular ways, through particular acts, to actually make the kingdom of God visible in the here and now. And that's what Jesus is praying for us right here, is that we would begin to see the opportunity that we have on a daily basis to make God's kingdom visible. Now, throughout Christian history, there have been people who have understood that to follow Jesus means that we declare our allegiance to Jesus above all other things. And there have been people who have a vision for the kingdom of God and what that looks like to have a vision for what it looks like when God makes all things right. And yet throughout Christian history, people have made a tragic mistake again and again and again. And that tragic mistake that the body of Christ has made is that we have a vision for the kingdom of God and we try to bring it about by the tools of the kingdoms of this world. And it's a constant temptation for the body of Christ to want to bring about the kingdom of God by the tools of power, violence, and politics. And it's not a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. Back in 700 years before Jesus, the Assyrians, who were a nasty, terrible, brutal people, the Assyrians were bearing down on on Israel, and they were going around destroying people and doing all sorts of horrible things to them. And the Israelites are getting scared because the Assyrians are coming. And so with the Assyrian army bearing down on Israel, guess what the Israelites do? They pray to God for help. No, that's not what they do. All right. They trust the words of the prophets. No, that's not what they do. All right. They say, hey, let's be really faithful to God and just be who he's called us to be. That's not what they do. You know what they do with the Assyrians coming? They go to the Egyptians. They go to the Egyptians. And they say, would you save us? Politics, power, and violence. God comments on this appeal to the Egyptians, and this is what he says to the Israelites in Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. On over to chapter 31. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. What have the Israelites done? They just did what everybody else did. They looked for the most powerful person in the room, who had the most horses, who had the most chariots, who had the most weapons, who had the power. And they appealed to them to save them from the Assyrians. And did you hear what God said to them? When you seek shade from power, violence, and politics, the shade you seek will ultimately end up in your disgrace. Because they didn't seek the Lord. They didn't trust him. And over and over again, the people of God have faced this temptation to understand, we've got this vision for the kingdom of God, but what does it look like to bring the kingdom of God into the here and the now? That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. We follow the way of Jesus. We follow the way of Jesus. And what is the way of Jesus? That you love your enemies. You pray for those who curse you. You bless those who persecute you. You speak truthfully in love to all people. You love and you value the least and the last and the lost. You're meek and you're humble. You're serving others and you're seeking to bless without regard to what you get in return. And I think that sometimes we forget this. We think that when we're doing those things, that we're just being nice or kind, and we forget that that's the way that we demolish the kingdoms of this world, and we bring about the kingdom of God. And, you know, we think when we've done what we're supposed to do, when we've blessed and served others, and then rather than getting gratitude and thanks, we get crucified. Man, we think, gosh, I did a nice thing, and things turned out bad, and we think, well, maybe I was just doing something nice. I did what I was supposed to do, and what we lose out in that is, no, you are destroying the kingdoms of this world when you follow the way of Jesus Christ, when you bless your enemies, when you serve those who don't deserve it, when you forgive those who have harmed you, when you seek to bring blessing in life without regard to what you get in return. This is the way the kingdom of God breaks into the here and the now. It's to follow the way of Jesus. To pray this prayer is a radical, revolutionary step that Jesus invites us to follow him in. And if we hear what we're praying, then it transforms the way we live in the here and the now. So that we're not absorbed by the culture, whatever culture that is, wherever the body of Christ lives, so that we're not absorbed by the culture, but we become salt and light, distinct and different, lifting up a kingdom that's breaking into the here and the now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. And we thank you for this prayer that you have given to us. And we pray that you would give us deeper understanding of what it means to pray it. And Lord, we understand that to pray this prayer is to fall before you, surrender to you, and to bow before no other. We pray that you would teach us how to live in the time in which we live. Lord, help us to not accommodate to the culture in which we live, but help us to live faithfully to you and teach us to mourn those things that are necessary but not eternal. Lord, by our very mourning, let us be distinct and different from the world in which we live. Father, help us to receive a vision from you for what it looks like. What are we praying for? Lord, I pray that you would particularize that vision for every single one of us, that we would have a vision of what it looks like for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives, right where we are, in our families, in our workplace, in our church, in our community. Lord, what would that look like? Give us a vision for that. And then, Lord, help us to follow the way of Jesus, to trust you. Lord, you're worthy of our trust. Help us to be faithful to you and to realize as we walk in faithfulness to you, Lord, we are battling for the kingdom of God. We trust you in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.